Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Jordan Matheson. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Robert. Good to see you.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Jordan's a program manager in Visual Studio Land, working on the JavaScript editor.
Yep.
And you're here to show us what's new in JavaScript editing in Visual Studio 2015.
Yep, we've got a large number of changes.
In case you guys missed it, by the time you're watching this, has released. So go get it.
Excellent. So yeah, I'll take you through some JavaScript changes we've got and talk a little bit on the TypeScript editor improvements as well.
Excellent. Cool.
So let's just jump right in. So what I've got is, to prime this here, we're just going to look at some JavaScript behind a sample photo browsing application I've built. This is a pretty simple application using Angular, the Angular JavaScript library version 1.4, which is a very popular library. We heard from a lot of developers they're using it in their projects. They wanted great support for it in VS. So it's one of the libraries we've got by default out of the box support for in our JavaScript editor.
Okay, cool.
So
and the next version of that is going to be written in with TypeScript.
Yeah, so the Angular team announced that Angular 2 is going to be written using TypeScript, and that will be one of the languages, one of the flavors of JavaScript you could use for building an Angular app. So you could use straight JavaScript version 5.1, that's the most widely adopted right now. You could use the new ECMAScript 2015 version of JavaScript, or TypeScript will be the full, like best tool.
Is that
experience.
Also known as 6?
Yeah, ECMAScript 2015, also known as ES6.
ES6, okay. All right.
So yeah, we're not going to talk much on the HTML, but just to help set context for the application, I'll show you how this front page was set up here. So if you haven't used Angular before, you'll typically set up something to identify the app module for your project. So in this case, I've named a module Photo Browser. And if you look down here, I'm using a controller named List. So in Angular, you'd use a controller to define the logic for the page. What handles getting the data to your HTML, the view, and back and forth. So we're going to have a List controller we'll use. And it's putting into this container of photos a navigation bar with a search box. And this piece here that I'm going to highlight is a chunk of code that's actually putting those images on the page. So it's using this ng repeat attribute that comes from Angular, which inside of this it's saying iterate through a set of images. And so for each image in that images collection, it's got some logic here to do some filtering. And then in the body of this, we put out a thumbnail for each image. And so that includes putting out an image with, here's the URL, it's a property of this image object, and a title, which is another property of the image object. So now if we go to JavaScript, where I'm here to talk about, you can see where this is coming, how this gets kind of bound together when the app runs. So we start off right away using Angular defining that photo browser module for our app, set up a controller with Angular named List, and then this bit right here that we'll talk about some is how you set up dependencies in Angular. So Angular has this big piece about dependency injection. At runtime, it will dynamically combine all the things your controller depends upon and pass that into your controller function to use. Here, I'm just taking a dependency on this Angular scope service that lets me put data into the view, take stuff back out.
Okay.
And so when you look at our List controller here, I'm going to push this out of the way, and you'll see that we assign that images array to the scope. And this is what we're iterating through on the HTML file.
Okay.
So that's set up out of the way. I'll just show you one of the first things you've just seen that's new with the 2015 editor is I've collapsed down this array. So we've now got simple improvement to collapse down arrays or these object literals that span multiple lines. Just one way to clean up your code a bit. So this is that hard-coded set of list of images I've got right now where
we're
talking about
the
two properties.
And then when you hover over that, it displays, right?
Yeah.
After you collapse.
So we collapse it down. You can get a quick preview of the content.
So now here's a question for you. If you do this in VB and C Sharp, the code that displays is in color, but in JavaScript it's still in black and white. Is that something that you are A, looking into doing, B, able to do?
It is something, actually, we are looking at doing that over time. What we've done in this release, and you'll see in a bit, is the TypeScript editor is now built on top of the same language editor as Roslyn and C Sharp.
Okay.
So TypeScript's got the colorization. We're looking at how do we bring that same editor experience to JavaScript too.
So the editor's built, but the language is not built on top of Roslyn, right?
Right.
But the editor can be?
For TypeScript, the editor is.
Okay.
In this release of the TypeScript
tools. For TypeScript,
that's a new feature.
Yep. Right, got it. Okay.
So right now, our JavaScript editor is not. So it's
right.
got, there's some differences in the experience.
Right.
And another quick thing you'll see here is if we go in now, we've got a couple to-do items here that we're going to address in this walkthrough. If I look at the task list in VS, now I can see my to-do items coming in. So this is a little, the task list has been in VS for a while. It gives you to-dos right. and hack comments. Now you get those from your JavaScript file and TypeScript in this release. A little improvement.
Cool.
And it's also showing me for all open files a to-do comment. So you can actually see here a bunch of comments from the Angular team themselves in the angular.js file I have open in the other window.
I see.
Yeah, so if we went here, then there was a to-do comment sitting up in angular.js that was just surfaced to me.
Can you filter those out in case you're at the moment not interested in the work they're needing to do?
Yeah, you could sort this list here or take and filter out just to your current file.
Right. Got it.
So what we're going to do is I usually like to make changes, like maybe address one to-do at a time, but for the sake of speed here, I'm just going to do both of these to-do comments in one go right now.
Okay.
So what we're seeing here is two comments of taking our image fetching code and moving it out into a service, which in Angular, a service would be a reusable component you can use in other services or other controllers. So we're going to define one of those, and it says to get the images from the server, so we'll make an HTTP request to get those files. So the first thing we'll do is we'll go ahead and define this service we're going to use. And here you're seeing IntelliSense for Angular's kind of main API. So this is where it's showing me the API I can use to define a service. So we'll make a photo service. And I'm going to say that my service will depend upon this HTTP thing. We'll talk about that in a moment. And so what I've done is I'm telling Angular, when you run, bind me to this HTTP service. This dollar sign in Angular is just their convention for this is an internal Angular service. So HTTP is what we can use that comes with Angular to just make HTTP requests. So here we'll define our service function. And what this service will do is return an object with a single function we can use for getting those images. And so what I'll do here is call the HTTP API, and let's say I don't remember what the APIs look like for this HTTP service, you'll see that Visual Studio is giving us IntelliSense for that dependency.
Ah, cool.
So that's part of this Angular support we have. We can actually understand the dependency injection model with Angular and give you IntelliSense for those dependencies. So I can see here that the get function takes a string, and so we're going to pull from this JSON file I have. And optionally, there's a set of config settings. And if I open this curly, I'm actually getting IntelliSense for this config object.
Oh, nice.
So this is what we call object literal IntelliSense. It's a way that we've given you to document your own code so you can describe the shape of this object. Mm-hmm. In JavaScript, it's a really common pattern to have these config parameters to functions. So for example, I'll just take response type and be explicit and tell Angular I'm going to get back JSON. Okay. And we're going to change our service real quick to our controller real quick to use this photo service. Now, you'll see that, again, we get IntelliSense now for my own service. There's our getImages function. And I already know that since I'm returning the result of an HTTP request, I'm going to work with that HTTP kind of object that comes back. Mm-hmm. And IntelliSense here helps remind me again of the shape of that object. So with HTTP, you define a callback to be made when it's a successful HTTP request.
Right.
So this is going to take a function that gets the result of that call. And just so you know what comes back in this JSON, we'll look at our file real quick. So our JSON file, this is what it's returning. It'll be an object with a single member named files, and that's our array of images. So what I want to do is put into the scope that files array. There we go. And we'll go ahead and remove this. Now we'll refresh the page and make sure it's looking good. So far, so good.
Yep.
To prove that I don't have a caching issue going on or anything, I'm going to modify our JSON file so you can see that it really is working now. And we should not have any more Bs, which some people would like.
All right.
Right. So now I can take out that other to-do comment, and I'm done with that task. So okay, let's look at a few more things that are new that were going on in here though to make this experience work out. So one of these, I mentioned Angular IntelliSense already, but if we look, say, at angular.module, you'll notice it's telling me that this API takes a string, it's got an optional array of requires, and a config function. If I go to definition on this, you can see that this is actually what's driving those comments.
Mm-hmm.
So we've now got JS doc support in the 2015 editor.
Cool.
So JS doc is a de facto standard out in the JavaScript community for documenting your code.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time, Visual Studio's had support for XML doc comments with JavaScript like C#. But this is just taken off in the JavaScript community, so it's something we've got built in. So things like Angular now will just work.
Right.
And likewise, I could put this into my own code, so we could document the getImages function with a return, and say that it returns an array of strings. And then if you look again down here, if we see IntelliSense, you'll see that this shows us that it returns the array of strings, mm-hmm. so we're recognizing it. I can use it in my own code. Another change that's kind of fun to see with a bigger library or file like Angular is our navigation bar that's just been, you might have seen it up at the top of the screen. It's new in this release.
Right.
It's got, first, there's this global, this is the dropdown we call the containers, important containers for your app. This global container is a place you can go for sort of a classic list of functions in the file. So if you're one that just has a bunch of functions in your file you want to navigate between, you could use that. Or we also have some analysis of your code to pull out what might be important elements in the file for you. So for example, there's this Angular object. Mm-hmm. This is that angular.module I was writing. This lets me see what is attached to this Angular object on the global of your application. So I could see in here all these members available to me. You'll see the angular.module is in here. And so we're recognizing common JavaScript patterns to pull into that containers list. We also have it customized for Angular so that if you are using your own controller or a service, those get pulled out explicitly. So now if I'm in a larger file, I could mm-hmm. jump around to any of the services in here or my controller functions.
Cool. Very cool.
So another area of a lot of focus in this release was mentioned earlier, the ECMAScript 2015 or ES6 or ES2015, a few ways you could refer to it.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft Edge, the new browser we've got, has support for a good set of ES2015, and we've got the same support in Visual Studio. And so we've got, here I'll give you an example of converting a little bit of code to ES2015.
Okay.
So for example, let's see, one thing they've got is I'm called lambda functions. So if you look at our code here, you'll notice I've got the function keyword. A lambda function is simply, you could write it out like that. So this is what we would call a fat arrow. And you just define this function. It gives you some benefits of working with beyond more terse syntax. It's also got some benefits around the how you work with like the this object. So if you're familiar with, sometimes you've written code that may say var that equals this to control the scope of this throughout your code. Lambda is what they call lexically scoped. So it takes the this object from kind of the code around it. You could think of it that way. So for example, in this outer function, I could assign a value to A. And inside of my lambda here, when I say this dot, it's that same this property. Mm-hmm. So you don't have extra work where you're doing function.bind or .apply that you may have done in the past. So it's kind of a nicety of using that. I'm going to keep it simple, and we're just going to use it and say it's because I like the new brief syntax.
It's less typing.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's all we want, right? So I'll save these changes and refresh. The code, the app should still work. I fixed our image earlier, right? No, I didn't. That's still broken. That's fine. Now, Edge supports this lambda syntax, but a lot of people were still building for browsers that may not support that.
Mm-hmm.
Older versions of IE or Firefox, for example. So you usually want to add in something to your workflow that's going to do what we call a transpiling. It would take that source, turn it from ES 2015 into ES 5.1, one of the more widely supported versions of JavaScript, and that's what you would send to production.
Okay.
So how I've configured my project here is I'm using, I have this task, watch task running that's monitoring my source code and turning it into that ES 5.1 source code that I deploy to the browser. And I'm doing this through a task runner called Gulp, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And I'm using this new feature in VS 2015, that's the Task Runner Explorer, mm-hmm. which gives you a way to visualize the Task Runner. So for example, here I have this watch task running. And so every time I save a change to my file, let's say I put in a bad character, this is running for us, and yeah, here it saw an error in my code. So this thing is just watching my code as I go and turning it into the ES5.1, and I could refresh my browser and it works right away. I don't have a build step in Visual Studio that I'm manually kicking off every time. So the way I did that is I mentioned gulp. So I have this gulpfile.js. I've gone through some steps to use to set up gulp through Node Tools or NPM, the Node Package Manager that we have integration for this in VS 2015. And I set my project up with gulp. This is an example of a gulp file that you can think of it as using JavaScript to define a build script.
Okay.
So we've got a good bit of information. Mads Christensen has talked about these features a bit before, so if somebody's new to that, that'd be a good thing to go take a look at. But in brief, what my build task in here is doing is looking at all of my files in the scripts folder, concatenates them into an all.js file, and then it runs it through something called Babel, which is a third-party open source transpiler. It's also previously known as 6to5.
Okay.
That it's able to take like ES 2015 code and turn it into ES 5.1 or other versions.
Now, and is so that I run something it that Visual Studio installs, or do you go get that yourself?
I chose to get it myself.
Okay.
So if you look in our package.json file through NPM, I said that I want to include gulp.babel, so it brought it down for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it runs through Babel to do that transpilation, and then ultimately it will be output to this www.root app folder. And if you look here in www.root app, there's our JavaScript that's actually running in my browser. And so here, where we had a Lambda function, you'll see that it was just turned into a function statement.
Okay.
And I've also defined this watch task. This is what's actually watching for the changes and running that build task for me automatically. So I set this up one time and kind of set it off to the side. And you've seen, as I've been making changes here, I haven't had to think about it. But my code's being transpiled and pushed to the browser, mm-hmm. and all that's kind of just happening for me. So one more quick example of that is, let's say, if in my code I want to use new the class syntax in ES 2015. And we're just going to have a constructor. I could fill this out, use a class, and here my all.js file is being updated by that watch task. If we look, you will see down at the bottom there's this kind of stub code that makes it act like a class when you run it in browsers that don't support the class syntax.
Okay.
So it gives me a way to use ES 2015 now across more browsers than may actually support it.
So Visual Studio ships with support for ES 2015?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So you could, if you're just targeting browsers that already support the ES 2015 features you want to use, there's no need for a transpiler, just you can use the editor and have at it. Otherwise, if you do need to support browsers that don't have them so far, you may layer in something like Babel. TypeScript would be another option, so we'll hit on that right at the end here.
Right.
So one last thing to hit on JavaScript real quick is I want to note another popular library that we have support for by default in the product. So if we look in here, this is Required.js.
Mm-hmm.
So Required.js is a popular module loader library that seems a little bit similar to Angular, where at runtime it gets your dependencies and binds them all together. Required.js lets you split your code up into different modules and then load those dynamically as you run your app. But those could be requests that go back to the server for a file.
Okay.
So you can split your app into multiple files and only get the files you need as you're building out your app. And a lot of times, developers that like to use require, and there's a lot of them, when they're doing development, they like it to grab piecemeal the files they need. And then when you run to production, you might actually just put it through some tools with require that concatenate all your files, like we saw a moment ago with gulp, mm-hmm. and use that in production. But one model here is they can just dynamically request files as you go. Right. So similar to Angular in the box, we've got required.js support by default. And so we recognize how you refer to different modules and require.
Mm-hmm.
So in this code here, I'm simply requiring a photo service, and then I'm using it in my code. And I'm getting IntelliSense for that service. I guess this one I didn't have any. There we go. Getting IntelliSense for this function that came from that service. And if we go to the definition, you'll see that it's over in another file. It's defined using a requires define function. And so it's just a quick example of where we recognize that. Similarly, this code's using jQuery. And if you look, we've set up require.js here to map this jQuery name to a file path. So this is a very fast example of beyond just seeing, you know, how to get to file paths for your require code, we're recognizing how you uniquely configure require.js. So it's simulating how the app will run versus like a subset of require.js. It actually understands how you've configured the project.
Cool.
So lastly, let's talk TypeScript real quick. Here is similar code to what I just showed you, but in TypeScript. And so what I want to call out here real quick are some of the changes for the TypeScript developer in this release. As a quick refresher, if you're not familiar with TypeScript, it really lets you add types on top of JavaScript and get a tooling experience that's could be a higher confidence tooling experience. Mm-hmm. For example, I'm getting a squiggle here that says that it doesn't this HTML member doesn't exist on HTML element.
Right.
So with types, we've explicitly said that getElementById returns an HTML element. And so TypeScript can say, I know this is not something in that, so it looks like an error, and tell you more definitively that you've got a problem there.
Right.
And so with JavaScript, you may not get such a nice, you know, it could dynamically show up, but we can't say for sure, so we don't give you as many messages like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could come here and see, oh, okay, this is what I meant, is to assign to inner HTML. And TypeScript, you could write your app in TypeScript, you run it through the TypeScript compiler, and what comes out is just JavaScript.
Right.
So a moment ago, we saw this with Babel. With TypeScript, I could write code using, in this case, this file here is using ES2015 features, along with I'm layering in some types. So TypeScript lets me use new ES2015 features in my app. I could also layer in the TypeScript types. But if I remove the type code, now I've just got ES2015 here. But TypeScript is handling it, recognizing it, and doing that transpile step for me as well.
And then you could still run it through Babel to make JavaScript that is supported everywhere, right?
TypeScript has options for that. So in TypeScript, you can actually configure it to compile down to just pass through ES2015 or ES6, or compile down to ES5.1 or ES3. So TypeScript itself handles that transpiler step, so you wouldn't have
project,
to use Babel.
At the project level?
Yes, or you could configure it to go through command line tools. There's a TSC command line.
Okay.
It could run at a folder level, is another way of looking at it.
Okay.
So there's a new file in TypeScript 1.5, which is releasing with VS 2015. That is a tsconfig.json file.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a place that you can have a config file and say things like, I'm going to output ES5.1.
I see.
And without any project, you could use Visual Studio or the command line, and it will read that file and do the compile for you.
Mm-hmm.
So as an example, TypeScript 1.5 has support for a majority of ES 2015 now. And on the way to TypeScript 2, we're looking to have full support for ES 2015, as well as full support to compile it down to the different down-level languages, like getting to ES 5.1. So one of these new things here is
have
this
we announced any time frame for TypeScript 2?
We've got a public roadmap, but I don't know if we've got the full time frame on 2 yet. One example you can see in this source code here is the new module syntax with ES 2015 that, you know, I'm using require.js to use modules back in my JavaScript source.
Mm-hmm.
Here in TypeScript, I can just use the ES 2015 syntax for that. And TypeScript is actually going to compile this down to something that will run in require in the browser if I want.
Okay.
As I'm hovering over some things too, like you mentioned the colorization earlier, you can see real quick here, we've got tooltips showing colorization in them when you do IntelliSense. You see the same thing, so this is similar to using the C# editor.
Okay.
So TypeScript has
that. And
then
if you collapse that block and hover over it, is it colorized?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay. So you get that in TypeScript.
Mm-hmm.
You said. All right, cool.
And then it's also give us features like I can use the Visual Studio peak definition feature now. And so here is the definition of my photo service.
And that's live, you can make changes to it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep, I could change this. Save that change, come back, and TypeScript should get upset with me. There we go.
Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's the quick little touch on TypeScript then. So, okay, gone through a bunch of things. JavaScript editor, we've got a huge number of improvements we've made in there. TypeScript is moving forward to full ES 2015 compatibility. You've got the new editor for TypeScript. It gives you a number of features, things like peak definition. Any questions?
So I would imagine that a lot of the stuff that you've added was requested by users. Do you guys use User Voice? Is that the best place for people to make requests?
Great question. Yeah, User Voice is one that we've gone to. We also have direct feedback from customers. Things like the Send a Smile in Visual Studio is a good way to get to us as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Awesome stuff. Great. Thanks.
Great. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And like I mentioned earlier, Visual Studio 2015 has released, so it's for real. Go get it. And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.